to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, June 13th, 7:31 Central Time, and it is a privilege to have in studio with me this morning the Reverend Steve Shave. He's the director of LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission. Good morning, Pastor Shave.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for spending some time with us in the studio this morning, starting your morning off a little earlier, right?
It's good to be with you. I'm glad
to have some time to chat with you about LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission. This is kind of a revitalized or a new, I guess revitalized is maybe a good word to describe it. Tell us, what is LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission?
Our focus is working in our major cities. It's very complex work. It's a complicated scenario that, you know, not everybody is well equipped for. And so our office is there to help with neighborhood revitalization, with working with immigrants and refugees, with assisting with word and sacrament ministry to those who are the least of our brothers and the marginalized in our society. And there's, you know, many, many opportunities, and it's sometimes tough and gritty and even dangerous work. And, you know, a lot of guys that are out there and our street fighters, you know, our urban missionaries and our deaconesses and our pastors that are, you know, fighting the good fight, and we're here to support them.
Historically, the LCMS, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has had congregations in big cities. We've had congregations. What has happened to those congregations over, say, the last 50, 60 years?
Sure. There's no doubt that the cities are growing. They're actually outpacing their suburbs. And yet, at the same time, the church seems to be losing her footprint in the city. We're losing ground. It's undeniable. And that's the difficulty that we face, is the opportunity keeps increasing, and yet our presence keeps decreasing. For many times, the congregations are in neighborhoods that are shrinking and dying and decaying, perhaps, and the congregation also is struggling. They might become disengaged from the community around them. You know, many things happen. You know, I've seen on a few occasions now where the congregation, you know, can no longer pay to heat and cool the building. Difficulties happen then with just having a space any longer, and the difficulty that they deal with in terms of the complexity of the changes around them. And, you know, that's also and in many neighborhoods you see actual you know, opposition to the church. You know, you see that as well, where it's not just that they don't have a feeling about the church, they're somewhat opposed to the church because of what, you know, we stand on with the Word of God. So all those things can play into it and be challenges. But, you know, again, that is our role, is that we need to stay in the city. You know, that's what Christ told us to do. We'd stay in the city and to continue to hold our ground.
And why is it important for us to be in the city? Why is it important for us to have congregations and a mission in the city?
Yeah, I mean, you'll hear me say this, you know, so sorry if I sound like a broken record. The simple fact is there's just too much at stake. There is too much at stake. We have our own international mission work that happens in our backyards. We have this opportunity to care for the very least of our brothers. The very people that Jesus would have sat at the table with are at our doors. And we have this opportunity for this multi-ethnic ministry where you literally see, you know, dozens of nations all joined together in one neighborhood and in one congregation. And for us to lose this opportunity where, you know, our young folks are moving back into the cities and our cities are growing at this rapid, rapid pace. I mean, soon, you know, the majority of the population of our country are all going to be focused and centralized in our major cities. And if we don't capitalize on this, if we continue to keep losing ground, the other part of this situation is also, once it's gone, it's gone. It's almost near impossible to get it back. So we need to be thinking about planting churches. We need to think about how to revitalize churches. We need to think about how we re-engage our communities again. Just for all those opportunities that are before us, there's just too much at stake for us to lose any more ground.
Community engagement.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean? What does it mean to engage the community? What does that look like for an urban congregation or an urban mission?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you about in my own situation where I was in the inner city in Cincinnati, you know, for a congregation, the demographics change around them, the neighborhood changes around them. They might feel as though they're somewhat pushed out of their own community that they grew up in, and then they somewhat disengage again from the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is, you know, God has put you in this place for a reason. You have your neighbors there to love them as he has called you to do. And now it is time to now go into these neighborhoods, meet your neighbor, care for your neighbor, love your neighbor as you have been called to do, invite people into the church again. I just kind of posted on our Facebook page, go to LCMS City Missions and like us, Matthew 22, where Jesus is talking about the parable of this great banquet. He tells the people to go to the street corner and invite those, you know, that you would least expect to be at the great banquet. He says, go to the street corner and invite them in. Give them the wedding garment, which we know is baptism. Invite them to the table, which we know is the Lord's Supper, ultimately leading into the heavenly banquet feast. But that's what we're called to do when we talk about engaging again in our neighborhood. It's going to the street corner and inviting them in. Those people you would least expect, you know, that Jesus would have sat at table with, those are the ones he's telling us to invite.
You bring up a good point as you describe your experience and talking about community engagement when it comes to our urban and inner city missions and congregations. For the congregations that have been around for a while in the city, for the people that have lived in the city, especially when it comes to Lutherans, historically, we've had a lot of Lutherans who came from Europe, you know, the Anglo-Saxons who came and settled here and in the United States, especially in the Midwest, but across the U.S. Mm-hmm. And as you were describing how neighborhoods change over time and become disengaged from our neighbors, and now we look around and as you said, some feel pushed out because we're not engaged with our neighbors and look around and see things that aren't familiar with us, and instead kind of become reclusive, and instead of talking with our neighbors and engaging in conversation, which provides opportunity to tell the good news about Jesus, we kind of just become complacent and kind of hide. But what you're saying is these are great opportunities to connect with our neighbors, to engage in conversation, to engage the community in whatever opportunities might arise so that we can tell the good news of Jesus, be the hands of mercy in our neighborhood, even when our neighbors look different than us and come from cultures different than ours.
Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, Andy, you might think too, well, they might not be attracted to Lutheranism.
Right.
They might not know what it is to be Lutheran and what we teach and how we worship, and you know. But you don't need to be afraid of that either, you know, because it's just a wonderful thing. I remember people in the neighborhood. I would catechize them. I would teach them the Lutheran faith. I'd have somebody tell me, you know, in her 60s, that I learned more about God in this time with you going through the small catechism than I think I did in my whole life. You hear these timid little voices, you know, singing the liturgy for the first time. And, you know, and the next thing you know, they're asking, you know, can you chant more? You know, they're asking you more about, you know, the hymnody, and they fall in love with this rich, you know, biblical, the foundation of our confession. I mean, that's the other thing, is we don't have to feel that we need to shy away either in being in our communities and being Lutheran and helping them to understand what we believe in, and watch them as they fall in love with what it is to be the Lutheran Church, and to see, you know, it's like you said, it's not just talk. It's also, you know, they see that this is real. We understand mercy. We understand loving our neighbor, you know, that we truly are a church body that witnesses and shows mercy and has this wonderful, rich life together, and to see people brought into that is amazing. So we don't have to be afraid of that either.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. We need to take a break. When we come back from that break, I want to hear about one specific congregation, a ministry that you had the chance to visit, and also talk about how to make it over that threshold. You know, if we have become reclusive and disengaged, how do we get back into talking with our neighbors and engaging our community? So stick around for more His Time as we're talking with Reverend Steve Shave, Director of LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission, right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hey, Craig D'Onofrio here. Join me on the next Reformation Rush Hour. We'll talk with Dr. Dan Harmelink, the CHI guy. And we'll be talking with Randall Mark about how he became a Lutheran out of the Assemblies of God's Church. We'll also be talking about a movie that is about the work of the gospel in India. Tune in 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Have you ever missed a live broadcast of one of your favorite KFUO programs? Well, let me propose a convenient solution for you. Visit the KFUO website, kfuo.org, and download your favorite program by way of podcast to your iPhone or other smart device. It's easy, it's simple, it's convenient, and you'll never miss another program. KFUO, the official voice of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the messenger of good news by way of radio, web, and podcast.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Haven't we had our fill of people telling our children there is no God, no morality, no sin, no grace, and then asking them to act like human beings of great worth? There is one offer of life and salvation that's radically different. It comes through a cross with the very power of resurrection life.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking with the Reverend Steve Shave, Director of LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And Steve, before we went to break, we were talking about making the connection with your community. If you're in an urban or inner city setting, to how to engage your community, how to connect with them. And you had the opportunity to visit an urban ministry in Baltimore, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Or as the locals say it, Balmer.
There you go. Three different congregations.
Tell us about your visit.
Well, what we're trying to do is capture the essence of what is urban and inner city mission. And so we were able to do that in the city of Baltimore, because just within these three congregations, you did see the neighborhood renewal work that was going on with Pastor Robertson at Martini Lutheran Church, Pastor Coates at Lutheran Church of the Redeemer. He was working with a group of Liberians, so you had that multi-ethnic congregation and the international mission work that goes on right in your own backyard in his own neighborhood right there. It was, you know, we sat down and ate a Liberian meal with a Liberian family. I mean, you know, you felt like you were there in Liberia when you were in that neighborhood. It was really neat to be with all those great folks. And then Pastor Wildner, I mean, wow, I wish everybody in the LCMS could sit at his table just once and see what goes on there, because there was this outreach to the least of these brothers, the people marginalized and written off by our society. Mm-hmm. And he works with them, and he helps with people with drug addictions and getting out of jail, and just, you know, phenomenal ministry to see all three of these churches working and engaging in their communities.
Hmm. While you were there, you had an opportunity to see firsthand, as you said, you wish everyone else could hear and experience the work of these pastors. Mm-hmm. What are the challenges that these urban and inner city ministries face? What are the difficulties, the hurdles that they're up against, that we are mm-hmm. up against as a church?
Yeah. And it was funny because Pastor Wildner, you know, I was trying to coax him along a little bit and just say, wow, this, I can't believe, you know, this is what you could have been anywhere and here you've chosen this place. And, you know, he's like, what are you talking about? It's normal. There's nothing different about this. I'm like, come on, you know, this is not your average, you know, mission work that mm-hmm. goes on. I mean, not every pastor lives on a block where on the corner, you know, are the murderers and the prostitutes and the drug addicts, where you're getting called in the middle of the night with somebody that's thinking about using again, where you have to go through a list of rules to live in this rehabilitation house, and you know you're paying bail, you know, to somebody to get them out of jail in the middle of the night, and you're cutting hair so that they can have a job interview the next day, and you're bringing food to this elderly woman who would go without. I mean, and they do it on this little tiny budget, you know, which is amazing too, you know. And if you're in the suburbs in a wealthy congregation, you know, you don't have to deal with all the intricacies of that. You know, everybody has their own difficulties, and, mm-hmm. and no ministry is easy. But you know, for me, these are the front lines. You know, the real nitty gritty, having to get your hands dirty in the depth of, you know, of sin and brokenness, and yet it's the greatest of these opportunities to see what actually happens when you bring Christ into that.
Absolutely. To get there, as you said, to see these pastors and servants right on the front line and
right.
being the hands of mercy, right, in the middle of the neighborhood that so desperately needs to receive it.
Yeah, and it was funny, you know, we talk about frontline, the picture of these three congregations, it kind of looks like the migratory pattern of when the immigrants came in, you know, but I don't see it as the migratory pattern. I see it as the frontline. And it was really neat to hear how Pastor Wildner and Pastor Robertson, when they started to lose the flank a little bit, you know, they dug their heels in and said, "We are not losing any more ground here." And they, you know, helped Pastor Coates and to watch God, you know, from five people to suddenly this the one growing congregation in that area because, you know, God brought in this Liberian ministry and to watch it flourish and grow. But it truly is like the beachhead, you know, on the front lines of this battle that's taking place to keep Christ in the city. And, you know, it is amazing to watch the resiliency and the courage of these pastors who just refuse to give up. You know, in the worst, toughest, grittiest situations, they are going to stay there for that community. They're not going to let the devil get one more foot. You know, this is where it stops, mm-hmm. right here at this line, and we're going to push back, and we're going to, you know, the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against us, and we are going to bring Christ into this city. We're going to bring the light into this darkness. We're going to help these, you know, people who are broken, and you know, we watch as God helps to you know, Christ obviously is the one that gives that victory.
And a good example for all of us. For the church at large as well.
Yes.
What else can we learn from our brothers and sisters who are serving in urban settings and inner city settings?
Well, the thing that captures you isn't so much that this big picture. Mm-hmm. It's the individual soul. You know, it's sitting down at the dinner table, you know, and we're at Pastor Wildner's house. I mean, beautiful parlor room. The table setting, you know, just immaculate. You would think that, you know, kings and queens were coming to eat at his dinner table. And then you sit down and you're surrounded by drug addicts. And you think about, wow, if there is an amazing banquet table that was set out and Jesus came into the room, who would you expect to be at the table,
mm-hmm.
right? The broken. The sinner, the tax collector, the prostitute. the murderer. And here it is. It's, you know, it's right in front of you. Or at Pastor Robertson's church, to meet a man who was broken by addiction, who lost all trust in humanity because of the way he was treated but from shelter to shelter. And then he finally finds trust and hope again in the church. Or a community that feels like, you know, there's just no chance to rebound. And here you watch the church right in the center of helping with the revitalization effort. Or a dying congregation with a changing demographic. And over again, you're seeing that out of this death and decay and chaos, when you bring Christ through his word and sacrament into the picture, and you see these examples of how you love your neighbor, and you watch out of that death and decay and chaos comes this new birth, this new life, you know, this peace again. That's what we can take from our urban setting.
What is the need? Are there needs, to continue to lift up the prophet's hands, to continue to do mercy work in urban settings and in inner city missions? And are there needs for support there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, again, one thing I hope to accomplish is to create this awareness, to understand that this is mission work, right? This is mission work that we have right here. You know, we have urban missionaries that are in the muck and the mire of doing the toughest, grittiest mission work there is. And we need what I call these street fighters. If we're going to hold our ground in the streets of our cities, we need these street fighters who are going to pray and give and go. You know, that they want to be a part of this. They want to support these guys, you know, and a lot of it, you know, they do on next to nothing, you know, and they're barely hanging on, you know, and it's just, it would be a shame if we didn't come to their aid and help them and to support them, because they are doing such wonderful ministry. And, you know, it would be criminal to let this go, to lose this. And so you can do, you know, mission work where you're helping with mercy. You can give to support the ministry that they have going on, and you can help us to hold our ground in our cities.
Other cities, we've talked about Baltimore a little bit. Other cities that you want to, other cities that you want to highlight this morning? Where else do we see urban and inner city mission happening?
Yeah, I mean, you name it. I mean, our 77 major cities all need Christ, you know, and all have struggles and difficulties. And many, many of these guys feel maybe isolated in the fight. They feel maybe even abandoned. You know, all of our cities need our support. And all of them have the richest, greatest opportunities for us to bring Christ into the, you know, these difficult situations. And, you know, I've kind of been doing the circle from St. Louis, you know, out, and it's, you know, it's been good, but there's, you're right, every city kind of has this similar situation in that they are trying to keep Christ in the city and up against, you know, a major battle. But again, Christ has already won this victory, and we're just able to participate in the fruits of his labor.
We're just the servants given to serve.
Amen.
Well, what a kind of an exciting time with this new vigor for LCMS urban and inner city mission, to see just to get a little glimpse from your trip to Baltimore, and I'm sure more trips ahead, more visits ahead in the future, to hear what's going on with our brothers and sisters in Christ in these urban and inner city missions.
Right. And we have new initiatives, you know, for the first time in years, where we want to find creative ways to fund our urban missionaries. We want to find new ways to collaborate and to network and to work together We want to bring in people that maybe haven't been in the picture before. In my situation in Cincinnati, you know, I worked with local government. I worked with business, executives and major corporations, all of us coming together to make a difference in our community. You know, we brought the goods, the eternal stuff, the word and sacrament ministry that alone, you know, that's what's going to transform lives and souls. And that's ultimately what it's about. But you can be at the center working, you know, and collaborating with others to bring in true difference-making, wealth generation and job creation, all the rest, where you're helping to rebuild some shattered neighborhoods.
Sure. Right. Community development, revitalization.
Right.
Working with several agencies and entities. I know here in St. Louis, there have been some great efforts with National Housing Support, too.
Exactly. And they were part of that as well. And so that's it, is that, you know, the church does what the church does. She does word and sacrament ministry that transforms lives. And yet we also, as the church, have an opportunity to work together, you know, and that's kind of what I've been calling this new face of mercy, where it's no longer just me helping little old you and to give you aid. It is, the new face of mercy is a community, all working together, everybody bringing their assets to the table to make a difference, and working with partners, you know, in all walks of life, coming together to bring mercy and love into the community.
That's what it, that's the body of Christ. That's life together. When we, as, I'm not talking about pastors or church workers. I'm talking about the lay people, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us working together to deliver God's mercy.
Right. I'll give you an example. We have on our campus in Cincinnati, a HUD facility for low income senior housing. And one of the things that, you know, really nailed that for me, Andy, was our power went out. So one person's bathroom wasn't working, but they all came together as a community. Or I would watch as one lady would be the legs for the other, and the other lady would be the eyes for the other. And I thought, that's it. You know, that's what it says. We're not all the hand or the feet. We are the body of Christ working together.
Amen. Well, thanks be to God for the work that you and others are doing in LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission. We've been talking with the Reverend Steve Schaaf. He's director of LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission in the Office of National Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And Steve, thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. Share with us what's going on with your ministry.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
God's blessings to you and all the servants working together to bring good news and mercy of Jesus into those neighborhoods. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to study the daily lectionary. Hope you can join us for that. All part of his time right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.